Welcome to our podcast, Carefully Examining the Text. And today's podcast is from Psalm 76. Let's begin by reading this beautiful psalm the Lord has given us. Psalm 76 says, "For the choir director on stringed instruments, a psalm of Asaph, a song. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tabernacle is in Salem. His dwelling place also is in Zion. There he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword, and the weapons of war, Selah. You are resplendent, more majestic than the mountains of prey. The stone-hearted were plundered. They sank into sleep, and none of their warriors could use his hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse were cast into a deep sleep. You, even you, are to be feared. And who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was stilled. When God arose to judgment to save all the humble of the earth, Selah. The wrath of man shall praise you. With a remnant of wrath you shall gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all who are around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. He will cut off the spirit of princes. He is feared by the kings of the earth." Psalm 76 says it is a psalm of Asaph. All of the Psalms from 73 to 83 have that in their heading, Psalm of Asaph. The title in the psalm, in the Septuagint, says a song for the Assyrians, suggesting maybe it was written after Sennacherib's defeat in 701 B.C., recorded in 2 Kings 18 and 19. That's in the Septuagint, that's not in the Hebrew text. But let's see what the text tells us. Verses 1 through 3 stress God's presence in Zion. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. In verse 1, Judah and Israel are used interchangeably. In 75, verse 1, God's name was said to be near. In 76, verse 1, his name is said to be great. Great is his name in Israel. His tabernacle is in Salem, the dwelling place also in Zion. Now, Salem, what does that have reference to? Again, look at the parallelism of the psalm. In verse 2, clearly, Salem has reference to Zion. Therefore, Salem is short for Jerusalem. Remember in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, Melchizedek is said to be king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. That is probably a reference to Jerusalem. I think that's made clear by this particular passage. Hebrews 7 verse 2 makes reference to Genesis 14 verse 19, and it makes reference to the fact that his name means King of Peace, for Salem and Shalom in Hebrew have the same consonants. But remember reading Psalm 76 that contextually Psalm 74 was lamenting the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But here, that is the dwelling place of God. His tabernacle is in Salem. His dwelling place is in Zion. He broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war, Selah. God defeats the weapons of battle. In Psalm 46 in verse 9, you see the same kind of idea. The text says, "He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two and burns the chariot. with fire. The Bible talks about men beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation not lifting up sword against nation. Isaiah 2:4, Micah 4 and verse 3. And you remember the picture of the lion laying down with the lamb in Isaiah 11 verses 6 through 9. So many passages stress this kind of picture. God's power and God's presence in Zion. He will defeat all enemies and ultimately destroy all weapons. Zechariah 9 verses 9 and 10 stresses the same thing. God's presence in Zion is dealt with in Psalm 76, 1 through 3. And God is a majestic God. God is a glorious God in Psalm 76 in verses 4 through 7. In verse 4, the Bible says, "You are resplendent. You are resplendent." Now, this uses the personal pronoun, you are resplendent. The NIV has, "You are resplendent with light." God dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. In Psalm 104 verse 2, the Bible emphasizes covering yourself with light as with a cloak. God is pictured as covering himself with light. God is resplendent. God is majestic. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And God is so awesome and God is so majestic that even the strongest of soldiers are pictured as bowing before him. In verse 5, the stout-hearted were plundered. They were plundered. They sank into sleep, and none of the warriors could use his hands. A passive verb is used here to say that they were plundered. Some have suggested the idea is almost like they lay down and let themselves be defeated. But the warriors are completely powerless before the might and the power of God. The stout-hearted were plundered. They sank into sleep. And none of the warriors could use his hands. Their total inability to do anything in the presence of Yahweh is noted. In verse 6, "At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse were cast into a deep sleep." God is described as the God of Jacob in Psalm 75 and verse 9. And here he's the God of Jacob in Psalm 76 in verse 6. "At your rebuke, O God of Jacob." But God cast the horse and the rider into the sea. That statement is made three times in Exodus 15, the song celebrating Israel's victory at the Red Sea. In Exodus 15, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Exodus 15:1, 15:19, and 15 and verse 21. God hurled the horse and rider into the sea. Same idea in Psalm 76 in verse 6. And verse 7 is going to use the personal pronoun you twice. You, even you, are to be feared. God is so awesome, the most powerful warriors fall before him. You, even you, are to be feared. And who may stand in your presence once you are angry? We want to come back to that phrase later in the podcast. In verse 8, you caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was stilled. God's presence is known in Salem or in Zion in verse 2. But when God speaks from heaven, the earth trembles. And in verse 9, when God arose to judgment to save all the humble of the earth, the humble, the afflicted, the broken. These are the ones that God rescues and saves. Those who recognize they have no help and hope except in Him. These are the ones that God saves. For verse 10 tells us, the wrath of man shall praise you. Even a remnant of wrath you shall gird, with a remnant of wrath you shall gird yourself. Now, verse 10 is translated differently in some versions, but we're going to accept that translation in the New American Standard. The wrath of man shall praise you. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs 16, in verse 4, God made everything for a purpose, even the wicked for the day of judgment. That's one of the most striking statements in the book of Psalm, that even the wrath of man can be used to praise God. After God has delivered the psalmist, after he experiences victory, he is going to pay his vows in verse 11. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all who are around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. He will cut off the spirit of princes. He is feared by the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth will submit to the king of heaven. It's interesting that that phrase, kings of the earth, is used in Psalm 2 in verses 1 through 3 to speak of how all the nations of the earth are in rebellion to God. Why does the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth have taken their stand. The rulers have gathered together. The kings of the earth in Psalm 2 are gathering together in defiance of God. But here in Psalm 76, verses 11 and 12, they are gathering together, honoring Him. He will cut off the spirit of princes. He is feared by the kings of the earth. They bring their gifts to this God who is worthy of worship and worthy of fear. All the kings of the earth fear because of Him. Joshua 5, verse 1, when the Bible tells us that the Jordan River divided and Israel crossed on dry land, the kings of Canaan, and their heart melted at the thought of facing this God and these people. Now, we could make some points in this particular psalm of how it anticipates Jesus, but I want to look at that question again in verse 7. Who may stand in your presence once you are angry? In many ways, my friend, this is the question of the Bible. Who may stand in your presence once you are angry? Who may stand? Who may stand? You see that question asked in Psalm 130 in verse 3. The question is about man's sin and man's wrongdoing. The question is asked in Ezra 9 in verse 15. In Nahum 1 verse 6, after God has been presented as a God of vengeance and wrath. In Malachi 2 verse 3. In Revelation 6 verses 16 and 17. I want to read those verses. Revelation 6, verses 16 and 17. Again, my focus is on the question, who is able to stand? In a lot of ways, this is the question of the Bible. In Revelation 6, the Bible talks about the opening of the sixth seal. And when the sixth seal is opened, the Bible says, they say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? You know, it's interesting that that question ends Revelation 6. In Revelation 7, we find three times reference to someone standing before God. In verse 1 and in verse 11, it's a reference to the angels standing around His throne. But there's another time in verse 9, Revelation 7, verse 9, where there's a great multitude who no one could count from every nation and tribe and people and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb. The question was asked at the end of Revelation chapter 6, who is able to stand before him? And yet in Revelation 7, 9, there is a great multitude who is standing before him. What is the answer to that question? Who is able to stand? Well, in Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14, the text talks about some who are clothed in white robes. And the Bible tells us that these are those who have come out of the tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who is able to stand before him? Those who have had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can cleanse me from my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who is able to stand? Those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. In verse 10, the wrath of man shall praise you. The wrath of man shall praise you. We see cases in the Bible where God's wrath, or man's wrath, ended up fulfilling God's purpose. For example, when the Babylonians destroyed the temple in 587 BC, they did it because they wanted to do it, and yet at the same time, they accomplished God's purpose of bringing a judgment upon sin. The wrath of man shall praise you. But I want to tell you the greatest demonstration of that. The greatest demonstration of the wrath of man praising God is in Acts 2 and verse 23, where the Bible tells us that men by wicked hands delivered over Jesus to crucifixion, but God raised him from the dead. And the Bible tells us that everything that happened in the crucifixion happened according to predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Acts 2:23, Acts 13:18, Acts 4, verses 27 and 28. Everything that happened as man committed the worst sin in human history, as they took the one who was God in the flesh and murdered him in the most horrible and gruesome of ways, and it all happened according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. The wrath of man is accomplishing the purpose of God and the judgment of God. The wrath of man is praising God. And because of this, kings bring their gifts and lay them at his feet, as Psalm 76, verses 11 and 12 say. You remember the Magi who saw his star in the east and came to worship him. And they came bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and left them in his presence. The kings of the earth must submit to the God of heaven. May the Lord bless you and keep you.